The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right. Welcome to Friday Eve, everyone. Yeah, it's Thursday. It's just a way to make us feel better about the fact that we still have another work day before we get to the weekend. But yeah, we can deal. We can deal with it. Today's Thursday, so Howie Klein is here. And obviously, with the events that transpired the last few days, there's plenty to talk about. From getting to know Kathy Hochul. Oh, boy. She is the soon-to-be governor of New York. Yeah, wow. Zephyr Teachout, why isn't it you? Sorry, I digress. What else? All the stuff that went on in the Senate and the words of warning from the House. We'll talk about the players involved in all this, because that's where Howie's really strong. You know, he runs the Blue America PAC along with Digby and John Amato of Crooks and Liars, and they identify the best progressives who are already candidates and those who should be candidates, and encourages them, you know, to run and raises money for them and all that kind of stuff. So Howie will be along at the top of the hour. But I want to begin today with, a few words about Florida Man, the actual Florida Man. You know, there are plenty of Florida men around, but, you know, the one we're discussing today, is Ron DeSantis, who is known more familiarly to those of us who live here in Florida as Mo Ron, death sentence. Because that's what he seems to want to distribute to the people of Florida, early death sentences. The man makes zero sense at all. I don't know if you've ever listened to a speech of his. He can put, you know, three words together and make a sentence, unlike his idol, you know, Dump, the orange guy. But, and because he was educated, he's got a Yale or Harvard education. And it makes me wonder how. How is that possible? Because the things he says are batshit crazy. They're just stupid. So here's an example. And the reason I decided to start the show today with a little rant on the Florida man governor. Headline in the Miami Herald, an alert that I just got from the Miami Herald on email, says, DeSantis softens school board threats. It will be on them to cut their own pay. Yeah, right? It's what? So I opened the story and I read, and let me just share this with you. Again, this is from the Miami Herald. Governor Ron DeSantis' administration signaled earlier this week that it would slash the pay of Florida school superintendents and school board members who defy the governor on school masks. In case you've been asleep for the last week or so, DeSantis says, there will be no mask mandate in my state. It's a choice. It's a matter of choice. Parents get to decide. Well, this parent over there, this Trumper parent, gets to decide if my kid is going to be exposed to his germs? I don't think so. Sorry, back to the article. It says, but now, as two Florida districts, including Broward County Public Schools, that's where I live, remain defiant, the governor's office is acknowledging that the state has no control over local employees' pay. Empty threat from a moron death sentence, I guess. So his spokesperson called on, quote, activist, anti-science school board members. Excuse me, who's the anti-science one around here? The guy deriding what the scientists say? The guy who thinks he's more qualified to hand out medical advice than the doctors? Anyway, his spokesperson, called on, quote, activist anti-science school board members to dock their own salaries if the state follows through with financial sanctions against their district. Does he think we're as stupid as he is? It's just astounding. Absolutely astounding. And then he goes on. He says, oh, Christina Pushaw, who was his press secretary, in an email to the Miami Herald said, those officials should own their decision. And that means owning the consequences of their decisions rather than demanding students, teachers, and staff, school staff, to foot the bill for their potential grandstanding. What? The article continues, the tug of war between local school officials and DeSantis's administration is playing out as millions of students return to in-person classes across Florida and parents weigh the risk of contagion amid a recent surge in coronavirus cases, including among youth and children. As of Thursday, neither local districts nor state officials were budging. But the funny thing is, DeSantis, after threatening the salaries of local school board members and school superintendents, they admit that he has no control over their pay. So he says they should dock themselves? What an asshole. Oh, we'll get there. Meanwhile, Florida, did I not pull this statistic? Florida has more COVID cases right now than the 30 least infected states in the union. Got that? It's out of control here. Florida still has 20% of all COVID cases that are being announced. So I'm reading this article in the Miami Herald, and there's audio attached to the story and had DeSantis talking, you know, about masks, answering questions from today about masks. And I want you to hear this because he is such a liar. He lies. He makes shit up. I'm able to bust him on it. So here's, I won't overdo it. I'm not going to give you, I've got a 2-minute statement and I've got a 6-second statement. Which one should I give you? I think I'll give you the 6-second statement. He's going on and on about masks. And just making shit up as he goes along. And then he says this about Dr. Fauci. I'm able to bust. Whoops, hold on. I got audio coming up from somewhere. I have all that muted. That's not muted. Where is it coming from? Where would that audio be coming from? I don't have another. I think I'll give you the 6 seconds. No. Shoot. Tell me I'm not going to be able to play anything from this. Oh, I see. Okay, I can mute it here. Here we go. All right. So this is DeSantis, again, answering a reporter's question at this press conference earlier today. He's going off on masks, making shit up as he goes along. And then he says of Dr. Fauci.
I think yesterday, Anthony Fauci said, we don't know whether it's harmful. We hope not. That's where they're at.
That's not what he said at all. I tracked it down. So I Googled, did Fauci say what he just said? And it brought up an interview that Anthony Fauci did with Hugh Hewitt. I'll reserve judgment there, or reserve comment there. You already know my judgment. So I went back and I found the interview. You want to hear what Fauci actually said about masks? Again, here's what DeSantis said Fauci said.
I think yesterday, Anthony Fauci said, we don't know whether it's harmful. We hope not. That's where they're at.
We don't know whether it's harmful. We hope not. That's what he said, Fauci said. Here's Fauci.
So it's going to be a balance that we would feel very badly if we all of a sudden said, okay, kids, don't wear masks. And then you find out retrospectively that this virus, in a very, very strange and unusual way, is really hitting kids really hard. That's the thing. Nobody feels comfortable at all,
right,
about having children be put in a situation where it might ultimately, the way some people study, have some impact on
might
them.
Might ultimately.
But hopefully this will be a temporary
thing.
Temporary enough that it doesn't have any lasting negative impact on them. And getting back to what you and I both
agree, that everyone needs to be vaccinated. He said nothing even remotely approaching what Ron Death Sentence accused him of saying. This man is a fucking liar. He takes his cues from the orange idiot whose ring he kissed all through the campaign. It's the only way death sentence got elected, because he was just a backbencher, one-term congressman, unknown from Florida. There was already a Republican agriculture commissioner, go figure, working his way up through the Florida, you know, legislature and everything, who was poised to be the Republican nominee until El Trumpo was in office and, you know, Ron DeSantis offered to suck off his mushroom dick. And I guess Trump took him up on it and pushed him so that he became the nominee. The other guy, whose name I can't even remember at the moment, Putnam, I think, Adam Putnam, is just, you know, he's relegated to oblivion. And Ron DeSantis is the governor? And he's lying. He lies to all these people. Lie. And aside from being a liar, he is the world's biggest asshole. You ready for a song?
I want to tell you a story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
It's a brand new story about the brand new world's biggest asshole.
Asshole.
His name is
Moron Death Sentence.
And he's the new world's biggest asshole. Oh yeah.
Yeah, I'm so sick of this. I did pull this statistic that I mentioned earlier. The White House COVID-19 response coordinator, Jeff Zients, said, quote, in the past week, Florida has had more COVID cases than all 30 states with the lowest case rates combined. And Florida and Texas alone have accounted for nearly 40% of new hospitalizations across the country. Ron DeSantis is a liar and a cheater and just the scum of the earth. And I'm glad to see that his polling numbers here in Florida have dropped precipitously, and apparently they really have. But unfortunately, he's not spending any time here in Florida. People here have seen through his bullshit, but he's traveling the nation doing fundraisers. He's fundraising off of this nonsense, and he's got something like a ridiculous, I don't want to quote a number because it's going to be wrong, a ridiculous amount of money in the bank, ready to go. That, you know, now he's up for re-election next year in 2022. And I got to tell you, as bad as he is, the Democrats aren't putting up a great candidate either. We have Nikki Fried. She's the ag commissioner. She's the highest ranking Democrat in the state. And I'm not impressed. And we have Charlie Crist. Charlie Crist, now a congressman from the St. Petersburg area, who he is a former governor of Florida. He was a Republican governor of Florida. And then when he decided to run for the Senate, he wasn't MAGA enough or whatever. And it was before MAGA, but he wasn't crazy enough, I suppose, and he got no traction. So Marco Rubio, I believe, beat Charlie Crist, if I get the names and the dates mixed up, but bear with me. So Charlie Crist said, you know what? I'm going to stay in the race. I'm going to be an independent. So he ran as an independent and got nowhere. And then he decided to run for Congress and go all the way and become a Democrat. But my old friend Jim DeFede, who's one of the best political reporters in the country, I used to work with him at WINZ in Miami while Charlie Crist was the governor, when he was a Republican. And Jim DeFede at the time used to refer to him as Florida's best Democratic governor in decades. So that's, you know, it's a Florida thing. So anyway, that's who we're dealing with in Moron Death Sentence. Just leaves a bad taste in my mouth. So I think I need a little bit of a palate cleanser before we move on. And we can do that. Founder Sing has a new song out. And actually, they put to music and words something that I've been wondering aloud about. How are people taken in by the bullshit, by the con, whether it be Donald Trump or Ron death sentence or anybody in between. Why did they believe these lies? Why did they let themselves be led down the path of denying science, denying everything that makes sense? You know, believing Trump's lies about the election? I mean, it's just, it is opposite world. And you've heard me talk about opposite world a million times. Well, now I'm going to let Founder Singh give you their musical perspective on what it is where what it is that's happening. And the bottom line is, the people who are falling for this are suckers. You're suckers, 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 suckers.
How did I ever win that first election? Guess there's millions more deplorables than Hillary expected. All you right-wing Christians thought I was on a mission. You didn't realize the Antichrist, a politician. Surrounded by a mile-long list of lowlifes, I have to pardon half of them, so I don't pay for my crime. Still, you lemmings followed, jumped off the cliff and swallowed 20,000 lies, and that's why I say you're all a bunch of suckers. Believe the crap that I said. I'm even worse than Tucker. Got no brains in your MAGA heads. You're all a bunch of suckers. Played you like a violin. I'm a mobster, I'm a huckster. You lose and I win. Tisha and Cyrus, no, I'm sicker than a virus. Infected the Republicans. You really ought to fire us. I'll sold you for donations. 100 mil I've raked in. Don't read the fine print. Just make recurring payments. Tucker Cruz, the Satan Gates and Marjorie. They try to pull the wool over your eyes like me. I love to trap democracy with my cult of personality. I'm the big bad wolf, and you're all sheep. You're all a bunch of suckers. Believe the crap that I said. I'm even worse than Tucker. Got no brains in your MAGA heads. You're all a bunch of suckers. Played you like a violin. I'm a mobster, I'm a huckster. You lose and I win. You're all a bunch of suckers. Believe the crap that I said. I'm even worse than Tucker. Got no brains in your MAGA heads. You're all a bunch of suckers. Played you like a violin. I'm a mobster, I'm a huckster. You lose and I win. You're all a bunch of suckers. Believe the crap that I said. I'm even worse than Tucker. Got no brains in your MAGA heads. You're all a bunch of suckers. Played you like a violin. I'm a mobster, I'm a huckster. You lose and I win.
Founder Singh, you're all a bunch of suckers. You lose and I win. When are people going to wise up? Come on. There's an Amy Mann song called, I think, called Wise Up. Something like that. People, come on. Think for yourselves. I know this. I know somebody who's actually a school teacher who has not yet been vaccinated. And when I asked her about it, she said, well, you know, I don't really leave the house. You know, I go to, what did she say? I go once a week to buy groceries and that's about it. First of all, that's all it takes. Number one. Number two, I know that she goes out more than that. So stop it, people. What? I don't understand why they won't get a vaccination. I just don't get it. And this woman is a school teacher and she's like, well, I'm not back in the classroom yet. Yeah, you will be. You know, it's like when I hear about nurses or other so-called medical professionals who won't take the vaccine. Seriously, if I had to go into the hospital now, I think I would first talk to the hospital administrator and ask what their policy is on vaccinations for staffers, because I don't want to be in a hospital where, you know, the nurses or the maintenance staff or maybe even some of the doctors and administrators are not vaccinated. We can't play around with this right now. And then, you know, what DeSantis is doing with the schools is just horrible. So here's a video of I keep wanting to get one of the members of the Broward County School Board on the air. Unfortunately, I don't know any of them personally right now because there's been a turnover there, but I will reach out. But this is one of them. And you know what? I don't know her name. That's on me. I don't know her name. But just know, this is now Broward County, again, where I live. It's the Fort Lauderdale area of Southeast Florida, the bluest county in all of Florida. And, you know, still apathetic as hell because it's Florida. I think it's the humidity. Anyway, this, and so they were the first of the Florida school boards to tell Ron DeSantis to take his executive order banning mask mandates and shove it. And this school board member, well, she almost said those words.
This is part of our job. Being afraid that we're going to lose our job, be removed from office, fined, lose our salary, bring it.
Bring it.
Bring it. Because when you put that out there, it makes me work harder for our school children and our families.
Yep.
So if you're coming, it's going to happen.
Go.
But I do want to say one thing about the municipalities in this state, as well as school boards and county commissions. If they can come for us, they can come for you. Local control, which is paramount.
Yep.
For local government, is taking a big hit. And we have bullseyes.
We have bullseyes. But I love how she said to, you know, DeSantis, you want to do this? Bring it. You bring it. Because you're talking about our kids here. I want to see more on death sentence go down in flames. But the people who support him, you know, they're the same people that support Donald Trump. And I don't understand any of them. They live in an alternate reality, an alternate universe where nothing makes sense. It is. It is opposite world. And I don't know how they go through life like this. I just really don't.
Everything you thought you knew, you never knew it all. Sideways is straight ahead. Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
Yeah, the denial of reality. You know, I've talked about that many times, about how I would have Republicans on the show. Not often, mind you, but every once in a while to have a good-natured, friendly debate. But that's impossible in today's climate. One, there is no good-natured back and forth between a Republican and a Democrat these days. It just doesn't happen. The line, the divide is too strong. Second of all, as I've said on many occasions, in order to debate somebody, you must be able to agree on ground rules. You stipulate to certain facts. Well, they won't stipulate to the fact that the sky is blue and the grass is green, right? They just won't stipulate to reality. And if you can't agree on those ground rules, you can't have a debate. And that's why I don't talk to them. That's why if somebody calls up and you know that I can... I welcome phone calls, at least in the first half hour of the show, until a guest comes on. I will stop what I'm doing when the phone rings to take your call, even if I have no clue who you are or any idea what you're going to say, because my calls aren't screened because I work alone. But if I find out you're a Republican and the first time you say something really fucking stupid, as many of them do, I will hang up on you. Because I'm not going to waste my time. If you tell me, you know, that, oh, you can't get a vaccine because you'll get magnetized, or they're implanting chips in your arm through the vaccines, or whatever other bullshit they're spreading, like kids, you know, wearing masks, making children wear masks to school as child abuse, and they're breathing in carbon monoxide, that is just
bullshit.
It's bullshit. Stop lying. You know, I don't let my kids lie. You can't lie either. And, you know, when I interviewed Philip Rucker last week, you know, he was one of the authors of one of the new Trump books. So this one was, it wasn't A Very Stable Genius. It's I Alone Can Fix It. Yeah, they used some of his most ridiculous statements as the titles of their books. Philip Rucker and Carol Lenig of The Washington Post wrote this together, and Philip Rucker was on the show. And I asked him, how do you, you know, you're sitting across from him, he's granting you an interview, and he just lies to your face. You know he's lying. Carol knows he's lying. Two questions. Does he know he's lying? And do you call him on it? And he said, if we called him on it in that setting where it's just the three of us, we'd never get a single question answered because he lies about everything. So you just have to like make a note of it. There he goes again. Lied again, and just get his answers down so you can show the overwhelming evidence every time he answers a question. He's lying. I don't know how people do that. I just can't. I used to work with a guy who was a prolific liar, and I got to the point where I said, you know, I think he believes his own lies, because if you say something over and over often enough times, you do come to believe it. And think about it. George W. Bush admitted that much. Do you remember his famous quote about catapulting the propaganda? God, I wish I had, I can probably find it, but it'll take me a couple of minutes. Let me see if I can find it here somewhere. I did this whole Bushisms A to Z. You know, before Trump came along, George W. Bush was the master of the brain fart mouth statement. And Joe Biden's pretty good at the gaffes as well. But Bush was a particular brand of idiot. He was, you know, what did they say? Some village is missing its idiot or something. And he really was dumb, but I don't think anywhere near as dumb as this current crop, because they're reality deniers. You know, I joked one day about the flat earthers, because I thought that's like the worst designation you can apply to anyone. Call them a flat earther. It's obvious they deny science on every level. And, you know, that's a thing. Today, in the year 2021, there is a flat earth society, and these people will argue with you. They will tell you, I shit you not, that the earth is flat. There's no, you can't reason with them, so you can't argue with them, because that's just an exercise in futility. If you can't reason with someone, you can't have an honest, good argument. And you can probably tell from me, I really enjoy a good fight, a fair fight, when you're dealing with facts. But when you start pulling shit out of thin air and making it up, I just can't go there. I just can't go there. I want to see, what is this that I pulled? There's something from the Lindell thing. So you heard about the MyPillow guy had some kind of a 72-hour vote-a-thon. I don't know what it was. It was some cyber event where he allegedly was going to prove that the election was stolen. You know, the same shit he's been spouting for the last 6 months or more. So today, this happened.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a computer guy. I don't know what most of this stuff means, but I've been researching this election since November 3rd. And I can tell you right now that everything we're seeing right here, we saw in Antrim County, the adjudication logs being deleted.
Okay, so I'm cutting him off there, because right there he says, I don't know anything.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not a computer guy.
He's not a computer guy.
I don't know what most of this stuff means.
He doesn't know what any of it means.
I've been researching this election.
But he's been researching it, and he's going to tell you it was stolen. That's how they operate. It's just... when I say incredible, the actual definition of the word, it's incredible, meaning unbelievable, meaning not real. They live in an alternate reality. And I'm just waiting for them to come crash landing down to earth and have reality hit them over the head. But that doesn't seem to be happening. And maybe this is how we segue into Howie Klein. And maybe it's because I don't have confidence that the Democratic Party will hold these idiots accountable. They have gotten away, I was going to say, with murder. And actually, yeah, it seems that way, because so far no one's been charged in any of the deaths that happened on January 6th, right? And they keep pushing these lies. They're still pushing the lies. Trump made some statement today. I don't pay attention to him anymore. I don't listen. You'll notice I don't play his voice on this air. So anyway, I was going to tell you about, I was looking for the George Bush clip, and I can't find it right off the bat here. But what he said is we're catapulting the propaganda that you basically said, you keep repeating things enough times and it starts to sink in. I got to find that clip. I swear. I will. I'll find it and I'll play it while, you know, I wish I could find my file with all my Bushisms. Let's see. Is it in this? Nah. All right. I will find it when I get Howie on the line. In fact, speaking of that, why don't we get Howie on the line? Because it is just about that time. So I got to push a few buttons here. Let me do this. Whose turn is it to mix up the Dirty Debbies today? Is it yours? Yours? What are you waiting for? Come on, some of us are really thirsty.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTierney.com on the Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole Sandler.
How are you doing? What?
Let me read something to you that I was just putting into my blog.
Okay.
Many San Francisco businesses, this is the mayor talking, many San Francisco businesses are already leading the way by requiring proof of vaccination for their customers because they care about the health of their employees, their customers, and this city. And that is her announcing that starting next week, if you want to go into a restaurant or a bar or a gym or lots and lots of different indoor places, you have to be vaccinated. You have to show proof that you're vaccinated.
As it should be.
And this is the direction that the blue part of the country is going in, whereas the red part of the country is like making it illegal for cities and school districts, like in your state, to even have mask mandates, let alone vaccine mandates.
Tell me about it.
We're in two separate countries.
Yes. And what I was just explaining to the listeners is, you know, we've got this cretin as governor, moron death sentence, as I call him, who just lies.
Didn't he go to Harvard or Yale or something?
I mean,
yes. It's easy to call him a cretin, but he can't be that stupid.
Right. That's what gets me, because he can't be that stupid, yet he plays that stupid on television because it works for him, because he's pandering to the Trump crowd. I'm trying to make sense of it and I can't. So today he's going on and on about, you know, he threatened the Florida local school board officials and school supervisors that he would dock their pay if they enacted a mask mandate. And then today his office admits that they don't have the authority to do that. So did you hear this? So they said, I got to read you the quote because I couldn't make this up if I tried. So it's on it. His spokesperson called on, quote, activist anti-science school board members to dock their own salaries if the state follows through with financial sanctions against their districts.
Gosh.
I mean, it just is so ludicrous. But the other thing I was asking is if, you know, like Trump, these people that lie so habitually, if they believe it after a while. And do you remember the old George Bush statement about catapulting the propaganda? He said, you repeat something often enough.
I remember the old Joseph Goebbels statement that if you lie enough, you start to believe it and everyone else does as well.
Right. Well, and that's the premise. That's the whole thing. But you know what? Here, I bet this is it. Let me see if I can't play this, if this will... it's not from my files. Hold on, because they. Here we go. Let's see. As long as they don't run a commercial. Here we go.
Here it is. Your moment is in.
If you've retired, you don't have anything to worry about. It's the third time I've said that. I'll probably say it three more times. See, in my line of work, you got to keep repeating things over and over and over again. for the truth to sink in, to kind of catapult the propaganda.
See, he admitted it. You repeat it enough times, and people will believe it. The truth sinks in. But
he is a moron. I mean, he also went to an Ivy League school, but yeah. That's because his family connections got him in.
Right, he was a legacy.
But he is an idiot. That guy never was very bright.
No, never. But the whole catapulting the propaganda, you say something often enough, not only do others believe you, but you believe it yourself. So,
yep.
Yeah, so that's where we
that
are.
That was the Minister of Propaganda of Nazi Germany, Joseph Goebbels, who
right?
said that.
Wow. And George W. Bush admitting that that's what he did. And saying right out loud, you say it enough times and you got to say it over and over again for it to sink in. You got to catapult the propaganda. And that's what I think of whenever I hear these idiots lying like this.
I know, it's just amazing. I the story that I was working on is about a fringe candidate in Illinois running against Tammy Duckworth, a guy named Bobby Piton, I think, P-I-T-O-N. I don't know how to pronounce it. And he's a fringe candidate, not just a fringe candidate, he's a vanity candidate. He's collected no money. He just runs around screaming. He's out of his mind. He has a Facebook page, which is like hilariously funny, not intentionally so. And so he was at a Republican Party dinner last night, and the guest of honor was a congressman from Texas, a right-wing, hard-right congressman from Texas named Dan Crenshaw.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people on the far right think he would make a great presidential candidate at some point.
He's the guy with the eye patch, right?
Yes, he has the eye patch. That's right.
Gotcha.
This guy gets in a fight with him in the middle of the Republican fundraiser in a Republican Party event. And he's yelling and screaming at him that he's a rhino and that he, he's a Democratic operative.
Uh-huh.
He called him a Democratic operative. It's like, I mean, the party has like completely lost its mind. I mean, totally lost its mind.
Yes, if they ever had a mind. So and they keep going along. This is a bad omen when you think about the makeup of the country, and so many people are going along with that kind of insanity. That's what frightens me. Well, along with a bunch of other things right now.
I spent most of the morning, in fact, all of the morning from like 5 a.m. until almost noon. No, it was a little afternoon. Just doing this research. That's why I'm like completely out of it today and don't know what's going on. But I was doing all this research where I from every state I did two things. I looked at the county where Trump did best, and then I went to the New York Times COVID map and looked up that county to see how vaccinated the county is.
Uh-huh.
And there was such a shocking correlation between counties that have very, like when I say low vaccination, I mean counties that have 9% vaccinated.
Ooh, yeah.
9%.
Right.
Or 12% vaccinated. And then some of these counties have voted for Trump over 90%. One of them was 96 and change for Trump. Can you imagine? I mean, Biden got 3% of the vote. These are American counties. So when you talk about, things are getting weird. I mean, how are we in a country with these people? How is it possible that they have a role? These people in Wyoming, there are more people in my neighborhood than in Wyoming, and they get to pick two senators.
Right.
Who then can have a gigantic role in determining the policies that this country follows. Why are we in a country with these people? I could understand why it happened in the 1700s, but why is it the case now?
Why? I'll tell you why. I really believe it's the internet. The internet is a great tool for people who use it responsibly, but there's, as you know, a lot of bullshit on there. There's a lot of bad information on there, and people spread it. It spreads like wildfire. That's why I really think QAnon took off, because people were shut in during the pandemic, and these conspiracy theories and stupid, tinfoil hat stuff just spreads, and it goes everywhere. Without the internet, I don't think we'd be in this position.
Yep, good point. And in fact, like I said, that craziness from Bobby Python, I mean, that's where it is. He has no money. He's not going to do ads, but it's on his Facebook page. And there it is there, right on the Facebook page. People will read it. They don't have a filter. You know, it's a candidate for the U.S. Senate.
Yep.
And some of them will take it seriously. I mean, even though it's insane. Now, I'm sure you probably already discussed this, but you heard about this QAnon follower who killed his two children.
I haven't discussed it because I try not to go down that wormhole because it's really creepy. But these people are nuts and they are going off of bad information that people are spreading on the internet, and they believe that over, you know, name the expert, the top doctors in the country or whoever, a real authority, they'll believe some stranger on the internet who sent them an email. So no, I didn't pay attention to that story, but it sounds horrific.
Yeah, it's completely horrific, of course. So yeah, he believed that they were turning into monsters, citing QAnon as the source.
And he believed his kids were being possessed and they're turning into monsters, so he killed them. Look, if you can believe that some entity out there named Q, because he had Q clearance to government secrets, is sharing them with you through secret messages on the internet, take off the fucking tinfoil hat. Right? And it kills me that this nation, the United States of America, so educated, so wealthy, is so goddamn stupid. How is half this country so stupid? I just don't get it. And you know what? We shouldn't be in the position we're in now with COVID. We shouldn't be back to before, worse than we were at the start, certainly down here in Florida. It's because of science deniers. It's because of people like Death Sentence. It's because of people like Trump and Sean Hannity and Tucker Carlson, who I don't understand what they get out of it to spread false information. Does it make them feel good about themselves and show how powerful they are?
Well, I don't think it's that as much as it is riling up their base. I mean, that's they've got to turn these people out to vote because they don't have majorities. And this is the way they're doing it. It's horrifying, but it is what it is.
Wow. It blows my mind. And then, you know, here's another example of what you're talking about. The guy on Facebook in California, we're just weeks away from this recall election, which shouldn't be happening, but is. And I guess the front runner on the Democratic side is a YouTube guy. A guy who posts videos on YouTube. That's all I could find out about him.
Yep, that's all there is about him. And he might be our only hope.
Unbelievable.
Just a Republican out of the governorship.
Wow. I talk about opposite world all the time. This is insanity. This is the definition of the inmates taking over the asylum. What other cliches do we need to bring to life?
That's right. Maybe we should just play that Pink Floyd song from the early days.
So, Howie, I'm looking at downwithtyranny.com. Obviously, this was a pretty big week. A lot happened. Andrew Cuomo's resigning. Do you want to take a minute or two and tell the listeners about New York's lieutenant governor, the soon-to-be governor of New York, Kathy Hochul?
Is there any way that you can play that that video that I put up, because it's in her own words. She explains who she is and where she stands politically.
Yep, I can. It's right here. Give me just 20 seconds to get the shot up, because I can even
while you get it all up. But Kathy Hochul was a conservative in New York State. She was a rot gut conservative. I mean, now you hear all of these people on MSNBC and in the New York Times ooing and aahing over how great she is. I don't know if they just don't know.
Are they really? Are they really?
That she's to the right of Kirsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, but she is.
Yeah.
So this video that I have up on my site is it's an old video,
and it has her explaining who she is.
Okay.
In her own words, her own voice. This is Kathy Hochul.
Okay, here we go. And gee, funny, the writing on the screen before the video even begins, it says, Kathy Hochul, not a Democrat. Okay. Here we go.
And I've heard from a lot of Republicans. They think I'm a different kind of Democrat, and I'll take that as a compliment.
So what kind of a Democrat is Kathy Hochul?
I don't think that many people know that. I've always had the Conservative Party endorsement every time I've run for office.
Oh, yeah. I did not support Obamacare 100%. Of course, I voted many times to repeal it. So you just need to look at my record.
I led the fight against giving illegal immigrants driver's licenses.
I voted with Speaker Boehner against the president's policy on Libya. I'm one of 20 Democrats in the entire country who supported the energy bill.
I support the Keystone Pipeline, unlike the president and his administration.
I'm one of the few Democrats to receive the NRA endorsement. I've become very conservative in my voting record.
What kind of Democrat is Kathy Hochul?
I've talked to hundreds of people, many, many conservatives and Republicans, and they are with me on the issues.
The wrong kind for New York.
Why doesn't Rachel Maddow play that on her show?
Good question. Good question.
Yeah, they're oohing and aahing. Everyone is talking about how great she is.
Are they really?
She's a complete, absolute nightmare.
I know. And I've known this for years. I jokingly said the other day she's kind of blue doggy. She's very blue doggy. She is a Republican with a D next to her name.
Right. And when she had a short time in Congress, and as soon as she got to Congress, she joined the blue dog pack.
Of course. Pack. The caucus.
It's called the Blue Dog Coalition. Oh. She was a member. Mm. And a lot of times people think that Blue Dog is just an adjective to describe someone who's conservative. Well, it works that way, but Blue Dog is an actual organization. They elect officers. They pay dues. They put out statements and vote as a block. I mean, the Blue Dogs are a real thing. They're not just, it's not just an adjective. There's a
right.
capital B and capital D.
That's right.
And she was one of them.
Yesterday, I guess, when she was, answering questions, she said, look, I'm not close with the Governor Cuomo. In fact, I haven't seen him in months. We don't talk. This is supposed to be encouraging. She's the lieutenant governor. We're in the middle of a global health crisis, and she hasn't exchanged two words with the governor in months.
Well, actually, yes, she hasn't. But even more than that, it's really been years.
Wow.
She was just always a joke to him.
Right.
He didn't take her seriously. If for one second, he never gave her anything to do. He gave her the most absurd, little jobs to just keep her out of his hair. And he picked her because she's from Buffalo, which is the furthest city you can go from New York City. And she was supposed to deliver conservative Republican-ish votes from upstate.
Yeah.
That was the reason he picked her. And I mean, when you think of a guy like Cuomo, who's horrible, how could someone horrible pick someone good? Of course,
right.
Someone horrible picks someone even more horrible than himself.
Sure.
Kathy Hochul.
Kathy
and now
Hochul.
She's in a position where she's going to run. The New York State Democratic machine will likely get behind her. And she may well wind up being elected governor. I hope not.
I hope not too.
But right now there is no one good who said that they'll run. I mean, there are a number of people talking about it, but no one has declared that they're going to run against her.
Yeah, Zephyr Teachout was on the show a few weeks ago, and I asked her. I said, will there be another run? And she said, no, I think I'm done with that, which would be too bad because she'd be great. I mean, it should have been her, right? She primaried Andrew Cuomo and did not win. Then we could have had Cynthia Nixon too, who actually ran against Cuomo. She didn't win. Somebody needs to step up because Kathy Hochul, forget personalities, because Andrew Cuomo, I've heard from so many different people, was a bully. But he was very conservative. He also, and maybe you can talk to this more than I can, he controlled the New York State legislature to the point where he worked with the Republicans to keep the Democrats from having a supermajority so they couldn't get anything through. I'm I know the basics of it, but not enough to sound informed when I talk about it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, of course. I mean, first of all, he did that in the Senate. In his first term.
Okay.
But later he did it all through the whole legislature. He supported the most right wing bunch of so-called independent Democrats,
right,
who, and that was the purpose. Like it was to, you know, prevent the progressive agenda from moving forward.
Exactly.
Now, I want to mention that it's not all that different in California. It's not quite as bad in California, but California has a supermajority in both chambers, and yet there are enough conservative Democrats, they call them the Mod Squad, there are enough of them to prevent the kind of progressive agenda that we'd like to see happen from moving forward. And the governor is complicit with them, and so are the leaders of the Democratic Party in the legislature. They're all complicit in this, preventing the things like Medicare for All, and preventing things like the Green New Deal, and keeping the money rolling into Democratic coffers from the worst of the worst, from, you know, big oil and gas, for example, and all the worst, most corrupt and corrupting organizations, all that money goes to the Democrats. And they're not sending it to the Democrats just because they think they're cute.
Right. No, no. And they're keeping it from the progressives. So, again, the divide this week between the progressives in the Democratic Party and the, as you like to call them, Howie, the Republican faction of the Democratic Party,
the Republican wing of the Democratic Party.
There you go. The divide has grown, I think, larger, and the trench deeper. And there are the powers that be who are trying to keep it that way. Look, so they had the big Votorama the other night. They made a big deal of the Senate passed the BIF, the so-called bipartisan deal, and passed the budget resolution, which allows them to now move forward to start writing the bill they'll pass through reconciliation, the $3.5 trillion bill. And immediately, Joe Manchin and Kyrsten Sinema go, well, we don't know. We think $3.5 trillion is a bit much.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking that Bernie, of course, they had announced that long ago, and I'm thinking, and I don't know this for sure, but I'm thinking that Bernie sort of put some padding in there to give them the opportunity
to
go back to their base and say, look, I got all these billions and billions of dollars out of that bill.
I have no doubt. No doubt.
And we'll see if that's how it works out.
Yep.
I mean, that's kind of a best case scenario.
Right. Because, you know, they are going to come back. They'll have to cut something. Bernie has been around long enough, and this is his party. I mean, that's the one thing I hope people understand, is that he's as the chair of the Senate Budget Committee, this budget resolution, this is Bernie's party. This is Bernie's, this is his show. This is his last hurrah, really, to make a meaningful change in this country. So he's not going to give up lightly. And I think Joe Biden is invested enough in it now that he really wants this to work. So,
well, I'm not so sure about that.
Really?
I hope you're right.
I think,
but,
I am.
You know, remember, if Biden were in the Senate now, he would
vote
be Joe
against
Manchin.
It. Yes,
that's who he always was from the 70s
true.
Right on.
I know.
So I'm not so certain that he isn't, working with Biden. You know, they'll get something passed. But it's not going to be $3.5 trillion. I know that.
Right.
And what will it be? I mean, how much will they cut from it? And it's not just Sinema and Manchin.
No.
They're the faces of it. But there are other very, very conservative Democrats who don't want to come out of the closet. And they're letting Sinema and Manchin do the dirty work. You know, people like Maggie Hassan, who has to run for re-election.
Yep.
She already voted against raising the minimum wage. I don't know how she thinks she's going to win re-election in New Hampshire doing that kind of stuff. All that does is discourage Democrats from coming out to vote.
Right.
We're talking about a midterm, and she's probably going to be running against a popular-ish governor.
Right.
And I think, you know, if I had to guess one Democratic senator who's sure to be defeated, I would say Maggie Hassan.
Yeah.
Anyway, she's another one, you know, like Manchin and Sinema, who's against this bill.
Right.
He'll be fighting against it.
Right.
Although she'll be doing it behind the scenes.
Right.
And letting them be the two front men.
But let me ask you this, Howie.
In the House,
yes,
we have a similar situation.
Right.
You know, six very, very conservative Democrats already told Nancy Pelosi that they're opposed. They don't want the two bills connected. They want to vote for the so-called bipartisan conservative hard infrastructure bill. And they'd like to kill the soft infrastructure bill, this $3.5 trillion one. They say, oh, how are we going to spend all that money? It's terrible that we're going to spend all that money.
Do we know who these six so-called moderate Dems are? Because I see the report on six of them.
None of them are moderate. They're hard right Democrats.
Right.
So it was led by Josh Gottheimer, a blue dog from New Jersey,
right.
and Kurt Schrader, a blue dog from Oregon. But also there were two guys from Texas, one a new Dem and one a blue dog. There was Jared Golden from
Maine, right?
Blue Dog. Who is the other one? There was one more. I can't remember.
Two from Texas.
But there are a number who support these people too, and they're just keeping it on the down low so that they don't. You know, for example, Henry Cuellar is petrified because he's being primaried again by Jessica Cisneros. She nearly beat him last time. She'll probably beat him this time. And so he's a Republican with a D next to his name.
Right.
That's who he is.
Right.
That's what he is.
Right.
Always has been.
One
more thing. When he was in the state legislature, he was commonly called when George Bush was governor, he was commonly called George Bush's favorite Democrat.
Oh, God. Yeah. Cuellar is pretty bad. And then there's the situation we just heard in Wisconsin where Ron Kind, who is a moderate, who said he's not running for re-election. And that's a district that could easily flip to Republican
it will
hands.
Flip. There's no question that's
and we
flip.
Only have three seats.
The thing that I was worried about, and no one is talking about it anymore, is that he had been threatening to run for U.S. Senate. Now, I don't know if he's made a final decision to not do it or to do it, but he isn't running for his House seat.
Right.
That district go to the to a Republican. That's a Republican district. It'll go to a Republican.
See, that sucks. And the thing that we're not saying here is the Democrats
himself.
Have a three seat
Republican most of I shouldn't say most of the time, but on important matters, he does vote with the Republicans. And the thing that Republican can't do that he could do, he's a senior Democrat. He's on committees. He's negotiating. He's always screwing up the legislation from the inside. That's the problem with these blue dogs and new Dems, is that they're on the inside making the legislation worse, making it less friendly towards working class families. That's what they do.
Right.
And that's certainly what Ron Kind has just spent his whole career doing.
Right. So just through, and the census numbers came out today, which show, through redistricting, that means that states are going to start with redrawing districts, which will definitely hurt Democrats because the Republicans control most of the, state legislatures, and they're going to do that. And so Democrats are pretty likely to lose the House next year. Do you think? I mean, I think they're going to have a hard time keeping it.
They are definitely going to have a hard time keeping it. There's no question about that. And are they going to lose it? I hate to say so, but if I had to guess, I would say yes.
Yeah.
They will. The DCCC is an inept, completely incompetent organization who has never learned from its mistakes. They will do everything they can to sabotage progressives who might actually get people to turn out to vote, and they'll put in Republican light status quo supporting Democrats that no one gives a shit about.
Yep.
I mean, they get all excited because they're on Team Blue, these people at the D-Trip. So they think that normal people have that same feeling of, our team over the other team. But most people don't give a shit about that. That isn't what they care about. They want to know what are these members of Congress who they're going to elect now going to do for them and their families. And the people that the DCCC is going to get behind will not do anything for them or their families. It's not even a conception. All they're going to do is be, hey, we're the guys with the blue T-shirts.
Yeah.
You agree with us, right?
Right. Right. That's it. That's it. And again, people don't pay attention. They don't know what's going on. They go, oh, I'm supposed to vote for the guy with the D next to his name. Even if there are a few of them, they don't know which is which. They should just be listening to us, Howie. So,
well, I agree with that completely. Well, they could read my blog at downwithtyranny.com.
Downwithtyranny.com. Definitely read up there. Contribute to the candidates that Blue America has endorsed. You can get to Blue America at downwithtyranny.com/blue-america-pack. I'll put links on the blog in a moment because we're done. Howie Klein, as always, a pleasure. I'll talk to you next week.
Next week, Nicole.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks. Bye-bye. And with that, we are done with another show. Tomorrow's Friday, David Sirota will be here. So there'll be plenty to talk with him about. All right. As usual, I will leave you with the news. Thanks for listening, everyone. Have a good night. Keep your head up.
I read the news today. Oh, boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
More than 98% of U.S. residents now live in an area with a high or substantial risk of COVID-19 community transmission. That's a CDC metric that involves case numbers and test positivity rates. Just a month ago, that figure was only at 19%. In some areas, like Cobb County in Georgia, some schools have already had to switch to virtual learning to keep kids safe from rising infections. Yes, the Delta variant of COVID-19 is surging faster than any of the other surges we've seen so far during the pandemic. And go figure, the spread is worse in areas with governors who are fighting masks and vaccinations. In Mississippi, Dr. Alan Jones is Associate Vice Chancellor, Clinical Affairs for the University of Mississippi, and he fired a warning shot on Wednesday, explaining how close the state of Mississippi is to a complete failure of its hospital system.
Since the pandemic, I think the thing that hospitals have feared the most is just total failure of the hospital system. We're hopeful that, you know, we can get people to wear masks and get vaccinated and kind of stay away from each other, and that this rapid rate of rise that we're seeing will peak or plateau pretty quickly here, so that we don't get into a situation where there is nowhere to transfer a patient at all and we have to stop ambulances and some of the things that we just don't want to do as a system. That is our nightmare. We do not want to do that, because we know when we do that, you know, not the COVID patients, but all the other patients, the heart attacks and the strokes and all these other things that we need to take care of that have time-sensitive care issues, we're not going to be able to take care of. I hope people can just understand that it is a very serious situation. I don't want to say dire, and I don't want to say that we have reached the point of failure, but we are definitely headed that way.
In California, Governor Gavin Newsom announced on Wednesday that school employees statewide must be vaccinated or undergo weekly testing for COVID-19. California is the first state to enact such requirements. The California Teachers Association pushed hard to get its members access to the vaccines when they were first made available. And reports say about 90% of members have been vaccinated. California's largest school district, Los Angeles Unified, is requiring all students and employees, vaccinated or unvaccinated, to get tested weekly to contain the spread. Meanwhile, governors in Florida and Texas are doubling down on their no-mask mandate proclamations as hospitals are filling up with Delta variant-infected people of all ages. At a meeting of the Williamson County School Board Tuesday night, that's just south of Nashville, doctors who spoke in favor of masks to protect the kids going back to school were not only berated but threatened by anti-maskers and anti-vaxxers. As the speakers left the session, they were heckled by the crowd gathered, one man saying, "We know who you are. You can leave freely, but we will find you."
Hell. And everybody's taking notes, buddy. Keep that little smug. Yeah.
We know who you are.
You can leave freely, but we will find you, and we know.
will never be allowed in public again. You will never be allowed. You will never let him be allowed in public again.
Amazing. The Food and Drug Administration will revise its emergency use authorizations for the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines as soon as Thursday, allowing immunocompromised adults to get a third dose. Moving on to Congress, Speaker Nancy Pelosi is calling the House back from its summer recess about a month early on August 23rd so they can vote on the $3.5 trillion budget resolution passed by the Senate early Wednesday morning. But she's hitting some resistance. There are reportedly six so-called moderate House Democrats who've indicated that they will oppose this budget blueprint unless the Speaker puts the Senate passed BIF or bipartisan infrastructure bill up for a vote at the same time. But Pelosi reiterated her stance during a House Democratic conference call on Wednesday. She said, no BIF vote in the House until the Senate passes its reconciliation bill. She explained that it's simple math. She said that she doesn't have the votes to pass one without the other. Quote, I'm not freelancing. This is the consensus of the caucus. She said the votes in the House and Senate depend on us having both bills. By the way, the Speaker can only lose three votes, so this sets up another big standoff in Washington, pitting Nancy Pelosi against some of the centrist or so-called moderate members of her caucus who are vulnerable in the next election. That's what we call a tightrope. The Senate Judiciary Committee is investigating the last weeks of the Trump presidency and the pressure his administration put on the Justice Department to claim that the election was stolen. During closed-door testimony on Wednesday, former U.S. attorney from Atlanta, Byung J. Pak, told the committee that he resigned suddenly in January after he was told that the then-president was going to fire him because he refused to say that there was widespread voter fraud in Georgia. Pak said the warning came on January 3rd from Justice Department officials who told him that Trump was not happy when Pak announced that he had investigated Trump's claims of voter fraud in Fulton County and found nothing. That was the same day that audio was leaked to the Washington Post of a January 2nd phone call that Trump had with the Georgia Secretary of State, Brad Raffensperger, during which Trump asked him to find the number of votes needed to overturn the election results and make him the victor. So there was this weird symposium put on by Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, for the last couple of days. Mike Lindell was on the stage as his so-called experts were spouting off mumbo-jumbo trying to explain their stance. Well, he abruptly left the stage on Wednesday, just moments after a federal judge in Washington ruled that Dominion Voting Systems can proceed with its $3 billion defamation lawsuits against former Trump lawyers Sidney Powell and Rudy Giuliani and the MyPillow guy, all of whom accused Dominion of rigging the 2020 election against the former guy. U.S. District Judge Carl Nichols, appointed by Donald Trump, rejected the three defendants' motions to dismiss the Dominion suit. He wrote that Powell and Lindell in particular made claims about the voting machine company, quote, knowing that they were false or with reckless disregard for the truth. Dominion has filed seven defamation lawsuits against Trump allies and so-called news organizations that spread their allegedly defamatory claims. I got the news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is fully listener-supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.